This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
From Prime Minister to President,
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Tayyip Erdogan, Turkey's prime minister, was elected president of the country last night. The presidency will tack another 5 years onto Erdogan's 12 years in power as prime minister. Erdogan has been a politically controversial figure in Turkey, sometimes compared to Vladimir Putin for some of his authoritarian political stances. Emre Temel is with the BBC's Turkish service in London. He joins me now. Emre, good morning.
Morning.
So tell me a little bit about the prime minister to presidential victory this morning.
Obviously, it was a landmark victory for him. The prime minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, won 7 elections in 12 years, and he became the first popularly elected president of the Turkish Republic.
I mean, he's seen as quite a controversial figure. How is this victory being perceived in the country and outside? From what I understand, economically, it's being seen as a good thing.
Economy was arguably the most important reason for his election victories. When Erdogan's party came to the power in 2002, Turkey's gross domestic product was $230 billion. As it stands today, it's $800 billion. Inflation came down to single digits, and this phenomenon allowed many Turks to buy their first homes as a result of the new mortgage system. And all these economic factors played a big role in his last election victory.
Emre Temel is a reporter with the BBC Turkish service in London. Emre, thank you.
You're welcome.
Tech companies are hoping wearables will become part of consumers' everyday lives. First, though, they have to convince people to buy smartwatches, fitness trackers, and yes, Google Glass. That's got Apple, Intel, and others looking for new partners in the fashion industry. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson has the story.
A couple of years ago, Ben Davis found a watch in the SkyMall catalog that could receive calls. The men's version looked just like a regular watch. So he actually went for the women's version, which was...
It was kind of a far-out, kind of spacey bangle. And you couldn't tell exactly what it was when you looked at it. And that appealed to the part of me.
Davis wanted people to see and talk about his cool new toy.
And it worked, you know. People thought it was funny. I think people thought it was a little too funny.
The challenge now is moving these devices past enthusiastic early adopters into the mainstream, says Dan Ledger, a principal with Endeavor Partners. To do that, wearables need a makeover, which is why Google tapped designer Diane von Furstenberg and Fitbit paired with Tory Burch.
But I think the companies who are really succeeding in this are saying, let's start from scratch and let's design a product that doesn't look like a gadget.
After design, the next problem will be figuring out how to keep people interested. Ledger says a third of consumers abandon their wearable after 6 months. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Problems with drought are growing around the country. Parts of Texas and California have had record-breaking shortages the last few years. Now, Dayton, Ohio is trying to use water to lure businesses. Jobs and industry have vanished from the small Ohio city in the last few decades. From WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio, Lewis Wallace has the story.
I'm in a truck with Phil Vanatta. He's the head of Dayton's water treatment operation. We're driving around on a grassy island.
See the deer over there, sitting on the ground?
This is actually one of Dayton's well fields, where the city pumps up water from a giant underground aquifer. In the last decade or so, Vanatta says, they've been pumping less and less of it.
We lost all the GM plants and the Delphi plants and parts plants associated with those plants.
Manufacturing is a big water user, or was in Dayton's case.
We've got loads of capacity now. We would love to see more demand.
Which is why the city recently hired a full-time water marketer, Karen Thomas. Her job is to promote the 1.5 trillion gallon aquifer.
Water is a public good, but it's also a commodity.
Thomas is part of an economic development team that's reached out to hundreds of companies in water-stressed places the last few years. They've had serious interest from a few.
If they're looking for water, this will be a great place to relocate to.
And this kind of thinking is real for food processors, manufacturers, beverage makers, any water-intensive industry. Peter Kruger is the master brewer at Bear Republic Brewery in Northern California. He says it almost had to shut down this winter because of drought.
We have talked about other locations for a brewery that are not as water-stressed as California is.
He says the company has looked at Pennsylvania, Michigan, and yes, Ohio. But Dayton already has competition. Cincinnati and Milwaukee have splashy, blue-themed websites advertising them as water hubs. Karen Thomas, Dayton's water marketer, hopes folks will at least dip a toe in Dayton.
To be able to turn the faucet on, to get a cup of coffee, to take a shower, and the water's there and it's clean, why not love water? Especially Dayton water.
I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
Want more Marketplace in your life? There's an app for that. You can find it on our website or look for Marketplace APM in your phone's app store. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.